Hello there. Today we're going to be installing Ubuntu Linux 8.04. My name is Darrell Haley and we're going to be focusing on accessibility and Orca for today's walkthrough. So welcome in. As I said in the introduction, this is a walkthrough for the installation of Ubuntu 8.04 with the assistance of the Orca screen reader. For anybody just tuning in who has absolutely no idea what I'm talking about, a screen reader in its most basic form will convert the relevant or highlighted parts of the user interface of an application or a software environment into synthesized speech or braille. Now, because it's quite difficult to do a description, if you like, or a walkthrough with braille, I'm going to use this through speech. I do use braille occasionally, but my braille display is in work, so I'll not be using it tonight at all. Here I'm using a laptop. It's a HP DV8396EA laptop with two hard drives, and I'll be installing Ubuntu onto the second hard drive. So we have SDA1 and SDB1. SDB1, 2, 3, and 4, and SDA1, 2, and 3, I think. So I'm going to get rid of all the partitions on B and just do a fresh installation. Okay, let's turn the PC on. And you'll hear it spinning mad there for a few seconds. So when this boots up, it's going to give me a CD, or it's going to start from the CD, and it's going to give me a menu that's going to ask to select the language. Now I know that the default is English, just from reading forum posts, and I think actually one of the messages to the Orca mailing list may have mentioned it. So I'm going to press enter on English, and I've guessed that it's come up because it's been there for a few seconds at this stage. I'll down arrow. Oh, I actually want to give you a bit of an explanation for this, because this has changed from previous versions of Ubuntu. Previous versions of Ubuntu, you'd start the PC with the CD and the drive, and it would automatically, the first option you'd get would be boot the live CD. In this version, 8.04, you have another option below that, which is install. Now what this does is, this will install the operating system for you without giving you the live CD options. In effect, that will allow you to start the installation without typing a single command. That can be fairly useful. Certainly for Orca users, this is very useful, because you no longer need to start Orca in super user mode or root mode, launch Orca again, and then launch the Ubiquiti setup application. So by doing this, by pressing down once, F5 to go into the accessibility menu, then number 3 in my case to go for speech only, press enter twice, that will start your installation for you without any other problems. So as I've already pressed down, I'm going to press F5 to go into the accessibility menu. Now there are a number of options here. For magnification only, on-screen keyboard, speech and braille, speech only. I don't think there's a braille only, there could be. I haven't really gone through these options in a while. I know that option 3 is speech only. So I'm going to press 3. Now I'm going to press enter to save my selection or apply my selection of 3. And then I'm going to press enter again to start the installation. That's going to take a few seconds because it does load up a type of GNOME graphical desktop, but it's a fairly cut down one. It won't allow you to launch any other applications. It'll just give you the installation. Interestingly, in previous versions, to start the installation, as I said earlier, you had to type in a number of commands. What it also did was it provided a live CD. basically an installation of the operating system that you could run from the CD. Now, this does the same thing. It just gives you the added option of installing straight from the CD, like the previous versions, except you don't need any commands. You can just press that enter key on the second option down, and it will come up speaking, as we will see in a few moments. Now, you can probably hear it through my desk and through the microphone that the CD is spinning at the moment. It's booting up the system. And the first screen we should come to is the language detection. The rough order of this installation is language detection, country detection, or country selection, sorry, keyboard selection, then partitioning. That's where you select the partition you want to use or the disk you want to use. Now, you can also use one disk and resize Windows, and that will work absolutely fine for you. Just for my setup here, I have a number of Linux distributions installed. I've OpenSUSE installed on my first hard drive, so I don't want to destroy that because it's important. I like to use it. And I'm installing Ubuntu on the second drive. I could have resized partitions on the first drive, but I don't want to. I use my second drive for this kind of thing, for testing, for reinstalling things, and for basically trying to break stuff. After the partitioner, then we're asked to enter some personal information. By personal, I mean your full name, your login name, your password. It'll ask you to re-enter your password, then your computer name. Again, all fairly straightforward. After that, then, you will be given a cut-down version of what you selected. So, it will tell you, this is your name, this is your username. You've selected to use these partitions and this disk. Your computer language is English. In my case, your keyboard layout is Ireland or Irish. Do you select this or do you want to confirm this? It'll also give you an advanced button so you can change more options, for example, where you install Grub. Grub is the bootloader. Now, I'm not going to go into that much here. You can go and Google that. Suffice it to say, if you have Windows installed on your machine already, Grub will allow you to boot either Linux or Windows by default on 99.9% of all systems. And for that 0.1%, I'm sure you can ask on a number of the Linux forums out there. I'm in Ireland here, I'm one of the best Welcome Linux forums. Oh, there we go, we've Orca already. Okay, you'll have to excuse me, I actually forgot to plug my laptop into the mixer, so I need to do that right now. Okay. Did I mention that these walkthroughs are informal? I did now.
Tab, underline, forward button. Okay. Left, underline, cancel button.
Just in case you missed that, if the audio level was too low, basically what Orca said was, welcome to Orca, set up stage 1 of 7, and then it said forward button. So you could press enter, you can press alt F, you can press space to progress to the next stage of the installation. However, I want to tab around, and I will tab around to most controls in all of these screens just to show you what's there.
Tab, underline, forward button. Tab. Tab, if you have internet access, read the release notes for information on problems that may affect you. Release left, English.
Okay. I saw there that it's asking me to select my language. It's already in English, that's okay for me. Just have a quick look here.
No local Esperanto, Espanol, East, Euskaraz, East, Esperanto, English.
Okay, so I just showed there you can arrow up and down and select the language that you want. I'm going to press Alt and F here for forward. Again, as I said earlier, you can tab to the forward button and press Enter or Spacebar, or you can press the Alt and F combination.
Left F.
Sometimes the Alt F combination doesn't work, by the way, so I use it for handiness, but sometimes you have to go back and
panel.
Panel, okay. I hate when it says panel, because I know that I'm at the country selection screen. This has to be the most unaccessible screen I've ever met. I do warn you, you're better off installing this, and if you're from another country, then go back and select your country during the installed system. because this is not exactly the most accessible way of doing things.
Tab, New York Combo Box.
Okay, this is New York right Combo panel. Box.
New York Combo Nassau. New York Nibid D. Nome, Nibigon, Nome, Noron, North Dakota / End, Wallis, Wake, Truck, Tongata, Tarawa, Tahiti, Sapa, Raut, Portmore, Pone, Pitk, Palau, Pago, Numea.
I don't think this is going to find any of them. I'm just curious.
Page up.
To see what I find.
--Africa-. Abidjan. --Africa-. Abid, Accra.
Interesting.
Addis Ababa, Accra.
You may need to actually tap down arrow through this entire list, which is not exactly
great.
Tell you what I'll do. I'll do exactly the same as I did for the installation of Ubuntu 7.04. I'm going to go grab somebody and get her to... she won't like being called somebody. And get her to click on Ireland for me, because I could arrow through this list, or I could do it after the installation, but just for handiness, I'm going to do it right now. So bear with me for a moment, I'll put this on pause. And I'm back. Okay, so I'm already in Dublin here.
Tab, step 2 of left Dublin combo box.
And you hear there, it said Dublin. I wonder what'll happen here if
Copenhagen, Dublin, Gibraltar, Dublin.
Yeah, so it does seem to be just all countries here at once. So if I arrowed up and down, I probably would get there eventually, but that takes far too long. Okay, I'm pressing the Alt F button for forward again, and that will bring us... Well, let's see where it'll
bring
us.
Left Alt F.
I said before, but we go through it again. And I can hear the CD layout spinning up again. Okay, it says layout. Now, it did cut the speech off quite quickly, and I'm not sure why that's happening, but... We can get the gist of it anyway.
Variant column header, Ireland.
Okay, variant. For some countries, you have different variants of keyboard. For Ireland, for some reason, it has a few variants here. Now, I didn't actually know there was any variants of the Irish keyboard until I started using Ubuntu. But there you go, you learn something new every day. So, I don't need to check any variants. I just shift tab back here to the main keyboard
left
list. Or maybe I won't.
Tab, variant column header, right, layout column header. Ireland.
Maybe I need to wait for the CD to spin up again.
Israel.
Yeah, there we go. It just seems to be very slow.
Iraq. Tab, variant column header, Ireland. Ireland dash club, Ireland.
Yeah.
Left control. Left control.
I arrowed through the keyboard list there, and it seemed to be spinning up the CD for each time I did it. So that would be quite slow, I'd assume. So I just left it at Ireland and tabbed across and had a look at the keyboard variants. I'm not going to do any more with that. I'll go back into an edit field here.
You can type into this box to test your new keyboard layout text.
Okay, you heard there, it says you can type into this box to test your new keyboard layout. Now, one of the things that I like about this Irish keyboard layout is right by default, you have all of your accents, so...
O acute, E acute, I acute, U acute.
Which I think is very,
backspace, I acute, E acute, O acute.
Very impressive. So, you'll also notice that all of the modifier keys, for example, Control, Shift, Alt, etc., are spoken. Now, this wasn't the case in Ubuntu 7.04's installation. It is the default in 8.04. I haven't turned that off, just to show you what I'm doing. Ordinarily, I'd turn it off because I use the control key to shut up speech, and you'll hear me pressing the control key a lot. It's just out of habit to stop it talking, because often I find it talks too much, just for my preference. Again, I'm going to press Alt F, and this is going to start the partitioner. I know from experience this takes some time.
Frame, you can type into this box to test your new keyboard layout text.
Now, it said you can type into this box to test your new keyboard layout. I know that it's just still working on starting the partitioner, it's scanning my disk and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to leave it there for a few seconds, and it will bring up the partitioner at some stage. It just seems to be quite slow for some reason. The partitioner, I should add, is actually fully accessible. You can go in and repartition your disks as much as you want. You can be as verbose or as standard as you want, or customer standard as you want, I should probably say. And Orca will give you full speech output for that. And I'm still waiting for the petitioner. Interestingly, I sent an email today to the Orca mailing list complaining about a few little things that I found with the installation while I was preparing for this recording. You'll remember, actually, if you listen to my 7.04 recording, you'll remember that I was not prepared at all. In fact, it was my first time ever installing Ubuntu, which is maybe why I have a few more complaints this time around. Even though I have complaints, though, it is worth mentioning that, look, I am really impressed with this operating system. If I wasn't, I wouldn't be using it every day. There are a few little niggling problems that I don't like, but that's the same with any system. And I'm always very critical. There we go, I can hear the CD spinning up again, so that's promising, it should start any moment.
Guided dash resize size 3 left paren 000 right paren, partition number 1 left paren SDB right paren, and use free space selected radio button.
Okay, this can see that Ubuntu is already installed on SDB, so it's saying, would you like me to resize this Ubuntu installation, and then use the free space that we've got? Very helpful, I think you'd agree. If you wanted to, if you had 7 or if you had 7.10, you could resize that installation, try it your 8.04 and decide if you liked it. Now for this, I don't want to resize. I just want to completely do away with everything on SDB. SDB being my second hard drive. You know, it's SDA, first hard drive, SDB, second hard drive. If I plug in this a pen drive, it'll become SDC. If I plug in another pen drive, it'll become SDD, for example. Interesting, like, I should probably add as well, if you did resize SDB, and say you had Windows, an old version of Ubuntu, and a new version of Ubuntu, all of those would be added to this grub boot menu, the one I was talking about earlier. So, you'd press, when you turn on your machine, you'd be presented with a menu. The first option would be the latest operating system installed. If you went down twice, I'll explain why you go down twice in a moment, you'd see your last version of Ubuntu. And generally, if you go down all the way down to the end of that list, you'll see your Windows installation. Now, you can, of course, customize that list as much or as little as you want. You can have Windows boot default. You can have the old version of grub booting by default, whatever you want. The reason why you press down twice is because after each option, you have like a fail-safe option, which is quite helpful. If something is not booting properly or if you're having problems, you just press down once and that will boot you into the fail-safe. Alternatively, say if you had three versions of Ubuntu installed or two versions, you'd press down once, twice, three times, four times. Sorry, I had to count that in my head, which is quite bad. No, you wouldn't. You press down three times. Sorry, I was just picturing the menu in my head. Three times to go into the failsafe version of the second installation. Now, I know that's not exactly the most accessible menu you'll ever find. However, boot-up menus are never, ever accessible. Unless you find a way of making the computer beep for certain menu items that you want to go. And certain bootloaders used to be able to do that. For example, Lilo used to be able to do that by placing certain unknown character symbols into the configuration file. I heard a way of getting Ubuntu to do that, or sorry, not Ubuntu, Grub to do that before, but that's way outside the realm of this walkthrough, so I'm not going to go into that anymore. Let's explore this partitioning screen and get on with things. Guided use entire disk selected radio button. That's exactly what I'm going to be going for. But there's another option here.
Manual selected radio button.
Manual. Now that's what I generally go for. I'd use the manual and then I'd make my own partitioning scheme.
Guided dash use entire disk selected radio button.
Okay, I've gone back up to manual. I'm going to press tab again.
Tab. I want left paren 000 right paren
okay,
left paren SDA right left
control. I won. I know it's SDA, so I'm going to press down once to SDB.
Psi3 left paren 000 right paren left paren SDB right paren dash 120.0 GB80A Fujitsu MHV 2120B selected radio button.
Interesting. So you heard there that it says SDB, it's 120 gigs hard drive, and I'm using all of that because I selected use entire disk. That's going to remove all of the partitions on that disk, so all data will be lost. So it's important to note, if you are installing this on a Windows machine with only one disk, yes, you can have Windows and Linux live on the same machine quite happily, and Linux will, or Ubuntu will actually resize that partition for you and give you a boot menu that will let you boot both operating systems. Just make sure you select the first option on that screen, the first radio button, which is resize disk, and then if you have more than one disk, you select the radio button in there for the disk you want. Okay, I'm going to press the Alt-F button for forward.
Left F. Guided partitioning frame. Install frames. Psi 3 left paren 000 right paren left paren SDB right paren dash 120.0 GB.
Okay, that's giving me a bit more information than I actually want.
120 B selected radio button. What is your name? Text.
Okay, we've moved on to the one of the final screens here for the installation. This is the screen I described to you before. It's asking for some personal information. I'm going to type in my name here. It's Dara O'Haley. D-A-R-R-A-G-H. O-Fada. H-E-Fada. I-L-I-G-H. Now, Fada is basically an accent or an acute or a grave, depending on, you know, what mood I'm in. I think they're actually acutes. Let's go and have a look.
Left Haley space. Acute.
Yeah, they are acute. And I get them on the keyboard layout by pressing the right alt and then the letter. Well, that's one of the reasons why I like Ubuntu. Why it impressed me, first of all, is it gave me that functionality right out of the box. I'm going to press tab and it'll have automatically populated the username.
If more than one person will use this computer, you can set up multiple accounts after installation. Text Dara selected.
Okay, and it says Dara selected. Again, says text, so I can actually edit that field if I want to. I could type in whatever username I want, but I'm going to leave it the way it is.
Tab, enter the same password twice so that it can be checked for typing errors. Password.
Checked for typing errors. You have a lot of faith in me, computer, don't you? Okay, I'm going to type in a password here.
Star. Password. Star.
Okay, I've typed in that twice.
What is the name of this computer? This name will be used if you make the computer visible to others on a network. Text Dara-laptop selected.
Interestingly, it knows it's a laptop. It says username-laptop. I'm going to delete that and I'm going to type in Dara-laptop-linux. I have a mixed environment here. I have a few computers on this home network, some running Windows, some running Linux. And because they're all managed by a domain, a central server, I find it's much handier to have a specific naming convention.
Left F. Item column header. There were no users or operating systems suitable for importing from. Not selected.
Okay, so this is basically a user import tool. It will allow you to import certain user accounts from different operating systems. It will even import from Windows, which is quite handy. However, it's not finding any user accounts here because I have them all encrypted, so that's no problem at all. So it's not going to give me any options. I'm going to press Alt F to go to the next screen.
Left F.
And again, I could tab to the forward button and press Enter. In fact, I'll probably do that next time. Okay, so here now we have the last screen. I spoke about this as well. It is the summary of what we've just picked. And I'm going to go to the top of this screen. So, I'll go to the top of this screen by using review commands. Okay, now these review commands are very, very straightforward. On a desktop, on your numpad, use reviewing commands with the 789. 456 and 123 buttons. Now there's a reason why I went that way. 7 moves to prior line, 8 reads the current line, and 9 reads the next line. So 7 reads prior, 8 reads current, and 9 reads next. Similarly, 4 reads the prior word, 5 reads the current word, 6 word reads the next word without moving the active cursor at all, so your place in your document on your screen will not change. As you can probably guess, number 1 reads the prior character, number 2 reads the current character, and number 3 reads the next character. So 2, 5, and 8 will read the current object or line or word. The 1, 4, and 7 will read previous, and 3, 6, 9 will read next. Very, very simple. Okay, so let's read this page. I want to press the 7 key. And you hear that it stops speaking like I press that key just to illustrate that. I'm going to press 9 now to read back down the screen.
Ready to install. Separator, your new operating system will now be installed with the following settings, colon. Language, colon. English vertical scroll bar 0%. Keyboard layout, colon. Ireland. Name, colon. Para acute hailing. Login name, colon. Para. Location, colon. Europe/Dublin. Migration assistant, colon.
Nothing's going to be shown here because Migration Assistant isn't being used.
Blank, blank, blank. If you continue, the changes listed below will be written.
Okay, I'm not going
to
read all of that. Suffice to say, it'll give me a complete rundown of everything I've selected so far in the installation. I should also note that on the laptop you have the same reviewing functionality but with a laptop layer. Taking the caps lock key as the Orca modifier, i.e. if you press the caps lock and then another key on the keyboard, if that key is mapped to a function for Orca, then Orca will use it. For example, Orca key, i.e. caps lock key, U, I, and O, is the same as using the 7, 8, and 9 keys on the numpad. U will move to the prior word, or sorry, it won't, ignore that. Orca key and U will move the Orca cursor, if you like, or virtual tracking, to the prior line. Orca key and 9 will read the current line, and Orca key and O will read the text on the next line. Same with Orca key J, K, and L. Prior word, current word, and next word. M, comma, and full stop, with the Orca key obviously. Prior character, current character, and next character. Sorry for my confusion. I'm just trying to think of too many things at one time. So you can see there again, it's fairly logical, and you have different commands for the laptop keyboard layout as you do for the desktop keyboard layout, but they all follow the same kind of logic. Personally, even when I'm using the desktop, I still prefer to use the laptop keyboard layout because everything is accessible from the home keys.
Tab, advanced, dot, 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 button.
Remember I said it was an advanced button for selecting the boot manager or where the boot manager is going to be installed, i.e. where Grub is going to be installed, GRUB. I'm going to go tab here to the forward button.
Tab, step 7 of 7, underline cancel button, tab, underline back button, tab, underline forward button.
And I'm going to press enter.
Return, Orca find dialog, search for colon, text, installing system.
At some stage
frame,
I must have pressed
colon,
the delete
text
key on the numpad, and that activated the find dialog for Orca. Just ignore it. I shouldn't have done it. It was my mistake. I probably just tipped off it. So now we are installing Ubuntu. It's going to repartition the drives. It's going to delete all the partitions, and then it will copy the files across. I'll just explain that the system we're installing here is fairly minimal. Now, minimal shouldn't be taken negatively. I mean minimal by you haven't actually selected any applications to install. This is just a skeleton system. Again, not meaning that negatively. You have OpenOffice, which is the equivalent of Microsoft Office. You have Evolution, which is your email client. You have Firefox, which is your web browser. You have Pigeon, which is your instant messaging client. And that is an excellent tool, and Orca supports that fabulously well. With that one tool, you can access IRC, ICQ, GroupWise, Gmail, MSN, Yahoo. I don't know how many others, but you can basically take it that any popular instant messaging protocol or service you want to access, you can more or less access that easily with Pigeon. All at the same time too. It makes administering all that kind of stuff really easy. What else do you have? You have options there for connecting to FTP. You can download Skype easily, but it doesn't come with the operating system by default. But you do have other open source VoIP clients, voice over IP clients, i.e. that's what Skype is. It's a voice over IP client. That's basically it for the moment. I'm just waiting for this install to finish, so I'll probably pause the recording and I'll come back when it's finished. Now, usually when I try and do that, I say that I'll come back just before the speech starts to speak, or starts to tell me what's happening, but that never happens, so I'm not even going to try promising that this time. So, bear with me. You'll probably not notice any change at all. While this is installing, I also thought it might be a good idea to explain that Orca, until now, has not had any support for... Well, not any support, but it hasn't had decent, or what they would call compelling support for web browsers out of the box, as in as soon as the system has been installed. Before now, you've had to go and download Firefox from one of the nightly builds, basically giving you one of the most latest versions of the Firefox right from the development cycle. In Ubuntu 8.04, and actually in Fedora 9, which I'm not covering at all in this particular recording, Firefox 3 Beta 5 is actually being shipped with the installation by default. So as soon as we boot up this installation, we can go to the Orca homepage and look around, or we can go to any other web page and look around with the excellent accessibility that Orca provides with Firefox. You should also understand as well that accessibility in Linux doesn't just come from Orca. Orca does a lot of work and really gives us the information in a way that's easy to understand from a contextual point of view. However, a lot of the accessibility work is done by the developers of the applications and the GNOME Window Manager project. What I mean there is, say for example you have an application like Pigeon, the messaging client. They will follow GNOME design and development guidelines, which will include accessibility guidelines. And in fact, in one of the development tools, I think it's Eclipse it's called. No, what was it called? Regardless what it was called, it was a Python-based... Idle, that's what it was. It's a Python-based tool anyway, for developing Python applications. It actually has tools in there in one of its designers for creating applications that follow accessibility guidelines, and more specifically, accessibility guidelines created by the GNOME Foundation or GNOME community. So applications made for GNOME generally are accessible in some way, shape or form. Sometimes they need another bit of a kick from the Orca side to make things more accessible or more understandable, but generally applications are accessible. So that's an important thing to note. In the case of Pigeon, the messaging client, Orca is customized heavily for it, because in the accessibility we require in an application like that is actually very particular to the needs of a visually impaired or blind person, whereas the accessibility in GNOME covers every type of disability. Really, it provides support for movement, as in on-screen keyboards, as well as others that I can't think of right now. So it's not just the visually impaired who are benefiting from this type of inclusion. It also means that, say in Firefox, the topic I started first, a lot of the accessibility that we have in Firefox is created by the Firefox developers. For example, there is a toolbar available for Firefox now that will allow you to navigate by links or by form elements or by headings or other HTML elements. that we can also access using shortcut keys like H for headings, insert tab for moving between form fields, L for links, U for unvisited links, V for visited links, T for tables, etc. So that functionality is provided by Firefox, not by Orca. The voicing of these applications is provided by Orca, and the translation of all of this information into a format that we can understand is done by Orca. So just to give you an idea of that, because I think it's a very important difference from Windows. You don't just have a screen reader doing all the work, you have the actual system providing the information to the screen reader, which then provides information to us. So again, I'll let this finish. I'll just take a quick look at the status of the installation, just so you know what's happening. I'm going to press the 7 key on the numpad to see what's on top. And maybe it won't read. That's one thing with these installations. When they're working, if they are working on something, the output to the screen reader generally takes second place. And this wouldn't be a slow machine either. It would be usually fairly fast. But it's giving me no output at all at the moment.
Left alt installing system frame. Configuring target system ... installing system. Configuring target system ...
Yeah, so it did read for me, it just took a few seconds. So configuring target system, it's telling me. And I've actually heard the CD spinning down. Oh, now it's coming back up again. So it's certainly doing a lot of work there in the background. I'll pause the recording again and let it finish.
Find dialog, search for colon, text, installation complete, installation is complete. You need to restart the computer in order to use the new installation, restart now button.
Okay, it only said that find thing because, again, it's still open to the screen.
Left alt.
I'm just going to alt-tab over
dialog,
to that.
Search for colon, text.
Okay, search for colon, text. I don't want to search for anything, I'm just going to press the escape key.
Escape, installation is complete. You need to restart the computer in order to use the new installation, restart now button.
Okay, I'm just going to hit the enter key.
Return.
Okay, be different then. On the restart installation or restart computer. That is going to finish the installation. It'll take a few seconds, very quickly. Then it will spit out the CD drive and ask me to remove the CD. Wait for it. There we go. And I can press enter now to finish that process. When I press enter, it's going to... Oh, hold on. No. When it... Sorry, I needed to turn down the volume. If not, you'd hear a few little pops and clicks and stuff while the system reboots again. So, if I didn't press enter, there you would have... It would have just hung there. So now, when the machine reboots, which it will do automatically, it shows me a boot up menu. And the options I have here are... roughly Ubuntu 8.04, failsafe, then another two options, then the last option I have here on this system is OpenSUSE, and I can probably press that a few other times as well, and it'll give me no audible feedback, so I'm just going to hold the up arrow to get to the top of that list, and I'm going to press enter to start the boot of that installed system. Now, this is our system booting from the hard drive, fully installed. It took about 50 minutes, probably would have taken me about 35 or so if I wasn't talking through it and just going through the whole thing. So if all in all, it's pretty fairly quick installation in the grand scheme of things. As I said, it is a basic system that you're getting here, but you can customize and install as many applications as you want. But certainly for day-to-day use, you have everything you need to keep working. You might want things like Skype, or you might want more fancy terminal applications, for example, Tilda. Oh, there we go. That's a drumbeat little sound for me to tell me to log in. I'm going to type my username. I'm going to type my password. And it's going to start up. Anytime now. Now, one of the things, and I'll surprise you with this.
Welcome to Orca. Starting Orca preferences. This may take a while. Orca screen reader slash magnifier frame preferences button. Orca preferences tab list. Orca screen reader slash magnifier frame preferences button. Orca preferences tab list. General page.
Okay, now there was a lot of talking there. I was going to say, one of the things that really impresses me here is we selected to have speech at the start of the installation by pressing F5, then 3, and enter twice. Now we have a working system, and it has remembered from our installation that we want speech. So it came up talking right after we logged in. You heard the startup music to say that my login was accepted successfully. And then shortly after that, you heard some speech starting with Welcome to Orca, starting Orca preferences. Now, ignoring all the other stuff there, it says general tab and all that kind of thing. Basically, we're in the general tab of the Orca preferences. Now, there's a few tabs here. There's general speech braille keyboard. And I can't remember the other ones, highlights or fonts or something. There's also something for changing the keyboard commands and the dictionary and all that kind of thing. Dictionary being, you can get it to pronounce different words differently. So, one thing I want to do here is I want to change it to the laptop keyboard layout.
Tab, keyboard layout panel, desktop selected, laptop selected, radio button, right shift, general page.
Okay, back to the general page by pressing the shift and tab. Then I'm going to tab three times, or right arrow three times.
Speech, braille page, key echo page.
And I could have pressed the control tab as well, but I just wanted to right tab to, right arrow, because it was just easier to
tab. Enable key echo checkbox checked.
Okay, enable key echo checkbox checked. I'm going to disable that because
space, not
I just don't like it. And although this is a recording and it should be descriptive,
right
it just
shift,
gets on my
key
nerves.
Echo page, okay button.
Okay, I'm going to press, I could press apply as well, but I'll just press okay and that will save the changes.
Written.
And you'll hear it saying that.
Orca screen reader slash magnifier frame preferences button.
Okay. I'm going to close Orca.
Left F4, desktop frame, icon view,
just for demonstration purposes.
Frame, icon view layout,
if for some reason,
left
sorry,
left
I forgot to press the right button, I press enter and the default button was cancel. You can quit Orca by pressing insert and Q, or caps lock and Q, so caps lock for Orca modifier on the laptop keyboard layout, and insert Q for the desktop keyboard layout. It will ask you to, if you want to quit Orca, the default button is cancel, so i.e. no, you don't want to. And if you press tab once, you'll get to the quit button, or you can also press alt Q, or of course alt C for cancel. I'm going to start Orca, and that's very easy. To get into the launch dialog box, or the run dialog box for you people who are just coming from Windows, you press the alt and F2 combination. So I'm going to hold in alt, and then I'm going to tap the F2 key. Okay, now I know we've got no speech output because that's because I turned off Orca. Now I'm going to type in ORCA and press enter.
Welcome to Orca Desktop Frame, Orca Screen Reader slash Magnifier Frame Preferences button.
Welcome to Orca Desktop Frame, all that other kind of great stuff. So, where am I? I'm going to press the Where Am I key.
Preferences button, Alt P.
Okay, it told me Preference button.
Preferences button, Alt P. Orca Screen Reader slash Magnifier.
Okay, we're pressing the Orca modifier and slash on the laptop keyboard layout. It told me where I was. I can't remember the desktop keyboard command. I don't use the desktop keyboard layout very often. This laptop does have a numpad keypad on it. It's a full-size keyboard. So I could, if I wanted to, use the desktop keyboard layout. But as I said earlier, I prefer the laptop keyboard layout. So here we are. Welcome. This is our installed Ubuntu system, working right out of the box with no problems at all. Now, I'm going to take a look through some of the menus to show you some of the applications we have installed, just to show you the number of applications we have installed on this base system. On a Windows system, now I'm going to make a few comparisons to Windows at this time, because let's face it, a lot of people listening to this, I would say, are coming from Windows, because this will be fairly basic in the grand scheme of things. In Windows, you have a start menu. In Linux, you have the same type of menu, except it's not called start. And there's not just one menu, you have actually three menus. You have applications, places, and system. Your applications hold all your applications, applications obviously, programs, utilities, and other launchable or executable things, for want of a more technical or descriptive term. To get into that, we press the Alt and F1 key combination. Now, I know that might seem awkward, but you actually get used to it after a while. So Alt F1 for going into your menu, Alt F2 for run, and Alt F3 for a really quick and useful find feature. So I'm going to press Alt and F1.
Top expanded edge panel frame, 2 May 13, 11:07 PM embedded component, toggle button not pressed, applications menu.
Okay, ignore everything there except applications menu. I noticed that actually lately. Let's see if that does that again.
Alt prep.
I'm going to press Alt F1.
Top expanded edge panel frame, 2 May 13,
yeah,
11:07.
The date and time and all of that kind of stuff. I don't know why it's doing that in this version. It hasn't done it before, so it's probably something that's been fixed in a recent update, but I haven't done any updates yet. Okay, so it said applications
13,
menu.
11 colon.
Be quiet, Orca. Okay, I'm going to go down to the application, through the applications menu.
Applications menu, accessories menu, games menu, graphics menu, internet menu, office menu, sound and video menu, /remove... accessories menu.
Okay, so everything that says menu at the end of it has a submenu. And you can press the Alt, or say the right key, the right arrow key, to get into it. I'm going to take a look through the menus in this applications menu. Starting with the one that I'm on at the moment, which I think is
games, accessories, menu.
Accessories. I'm going to right arrow.
Calculator. Character map. Dictionary. Disk usage analyzer. Manage print jobs, passwords, and encryption. Take screenshot. Terminal.
Sorry, my down arrow is starting to bear the brunt of 2 years of a lot of use.
Text editor. Tomboy notes. Tracker search tool. Calculator. Character map. Dictionary. Disk usage analyzer. Manage print jobs. Passwords,
okay.
And encryption. Accessories menu.
I've left arrowed out of that.
Games menu. Isle Riot Solitaire. Blackjack. Chess. 5 or more. 4-in-dasher. Free cell solitaire. Gnome trees. Iagno. Klotsky. Mahjong. Mines, Nibbles, Robots, Same Gnome, Sudoku, Tally, Tetravex, Isle Riot Solitaire.
I haven't actually found any accessible games for Linux yet, but if there are any that you know, feel free to email me. The email address is D, the letter D on its own, at digitaldara, digitaldarraghh.com. Obviously com. Continuing down the menu here.
Blackjack. Games menu.
Get at the games first.
Graphics menu.
Graphics, very useful menu for us people who can't see.
F-spot photo manager. GIMP image editor. OpenOffice.org drawing. X-Sane image scanner. F-spot photo manager.
Okay. So if you see, we've only a few applications in there.
Graphics menu. Internet menu.
Internet menu. One of my favorite menus here.
Ekiga soft phone.
Haven't used that application yet. I must give it a try at some stage.
Evolution Mail.
Evolution Mail. Very, very user-friendly and really configurable and useful application for mail, contacts, calendar, and all that other kind of stuff. I suppose it would be considered a productivity application.
Firefox web browser.
Firefox. Again, that's accessible fully in this version of Ubuntu right out of the box. So it's using Firefox 3 Beta 5.
Pigeon Internet Messenger.
Pigeon, again, one of my favorite applications. It allows me to connect to all of the instant messaging applications I need to use, especially for work. This is very useful. It allows me to connect to GroupWise or MSN to talk to people in, you know, different parts of the office that use different protocols, all with the same application.
Remote desktop viewer, terminal server client, transmission, Ekiga soft phone.
Okay, we're back at the top of that menu.
Internet office menu. Evolution Mail and Calendar. OpenOffice.org Presentation. OpenOffice.org Spreadsheet. OpenOffice.org Word Processor.
Now, there are more OpenOffice applications you can install but that's just the view that it comes with by default in Ubuntu.
Office Mac sound and video menu. Audio CD extractor, Brasero disc burning, movie player, rhythm box music player. Sound recorder. Audio CD extractor. Brasero disc burning. Movie player. Rhythm box music player. Sound and video add slash remove dot dot dot.
Okay, add remove dot dot dot. Now, I will go through the add remove programs type of application in this in another recording, I think, because it's really accessible and it's very helpful. And it allows you to completely customize the applications you have installed on the system. Next menu we've across here is Places.
Places menu, home folder.
And I just got to press the right arrow to get to that. Now Places has your home folder, your equivalent of your C drive in Linux, which is just your root directory. It allows you to access your videos, pictures, music, all of that kind of stuff. And it allows you to access network resources or other disks. So it's basically giving you access to different parts of your computer. And it's all really cleverly organized in this one Places menu. Your home folder should be, I should probably point out, is where you should always save all of your documents, pictures, music, any personal files for you should be saved in that directory. Off that you'll span different subdirectories, but everything should be saved in your home directory or in a subdirectory of your home directory. So reading through this menu.
Desktop, documents, music, pictures, videos, computer, CD slash DVD creator, 120.0 GB media. Network, connect to server dot dot dot, search for files dot dot dot.
Search for files, that was a great tool for me at the start. It allowed me to really explore the system and get to know where things were kept.
Connect to server dot dot dot.
Similarly, connect to server, I find that very useful as well for connecting to different FTP sites or connecting via SSH to different servers too.
System menu, preferences system. Menu.
Okay, so system is where we can administer the system or configure settings for ourselves or for the entire computer.
Administration men, help and support. About GNOME, about Ubuntu, quit dot dot dot. Preferences menu.
So preferences we're going to first.
About me, appearance, assistive technologies, Bluetooth, default printer, encryption and key, keyboard shortcuts, main menu, mouse, network proxy, Palm OS device, power management, preferred applications, remote desktop, removable drives and media, SIM input method set, screen resolution, screensaver, search and indexing, sessions, sound, windows, about me.
Okay, so we're back at the top of that window, or top of that menu. I'm going to go left again into system.
Preferences menu.
So we're out of the preferences menu. I'm going to go down once.
Administration menu.
Administration menu. Now,
authorizations.
I've just pressed right arrow. You should note that in this menu, to do anything, you will need the root password or the administrator password. And I will show you how to define that password in a moment.
Hardware drivers. Hardware testing. Language support. Login window. Network. Network tools. Printing. Services. Software sources. Synaptic package manager. System log. System monitor. Time and date. Update manager. Users and groups. Authorizations.
Okay.
Administration menu.
That's it. That's all of the menus covered now at this stage. To reboot the system or shut it down or whatever,
help,
you can go
about
to the quit menu.
Dot, dot, dot. Orca screen reader slash magnifier frame. Preferences button. Exit. Exit. Cancel button.
So, let's see what you have in here.
Logout button. Lock screen button.
I'm tabbing around this window, by the way.
Switch user button. Suspend button. Hibernate button, restart button, shutdown button, cancel button, desktop frame.
Okay, I just press space to get out of that window. So I said I'd show you how to set a root password. This is fairly important and you should do it on any Ubuntu system you're setting up. I'm going to go into the terminal. Now I can go into Alt+F1, I can go into
accessories,
and press up a few times to get the terminal.
Orca screen reader slash magnifier frame, preferences button, terminal frame, terminal to run a command, as administrator left paren user quote root quote right paren, use quote sudo less command greater quote dot c quote man sudo underline root quote for details, dara at dara dash laptop dash linux colon tilde dollar.
Okay, so you heard all of that information, I hope. It said how to run a command as administrator and all that kind of stuff. Now, we haven't set the administrator password, so I wanted that right now. So, sudo space su.
Left bracket sudo right bracket password for narrow colon.
I'm going to type in my password, which is this.
Root at narrow dash laptop.
Now, I'm
going to
change the password,
colon.
So passwd space root.
Enter new Unix password colon.
Okay, I'll change the password.
Retype new password colon. Password updated successfully root at narrow dash laptop dash linux colon slash home slash narrow
okay.
Number. Exit.
I just typed exit up there twice to get out of it. Because once you go into the root user by typing sudo space su, then you will be asked for a password and that's basically giving you higher privileges. So you type exit to stop using those higher privileges because those are administering the entire system. And then you type exit again to close the GNOME terminal. Now I think there's two ways of getting into that GNOME terminal. Well, there's a few ways, but two important ways. One, you can go Alt F1, go to accessories, press up a few times to get to GNOME terminal. Or you can go into that launch dialog box, or the run dialog box I was telling you about earlier, by pressing Alt and F2. So hold in Alt and press F2.
Run application text. Enter a command string here to run it combo box.
Enter a command string here to run it combo box. Couldn't be easier. And then I'm going to type GNOME, GNOME, dash, minus key, terminal, TERMINAL.
No. GNOME dash terminal, terminal frame, terminal, narrow at narrow dash laptop, dash linux, colon, tilde, dollar.
Okay. So, I'm in the terminal again. Now, you notice that it didn't give me that big message it gave me at the start. That's because we've been in here once before, so it didn't need to give us that message again twice. So, it's fairly intuitive like that. So, I'm going to use a fairly simple command, okay? Now, you're going to... Like, this is... You're not going to need this very often. I'm going to type, who am I?
Darig.
Okay, fair enough. Now I'm going to type just... What other command can we use? I'll just use who, okay? And that will tell me who's logged onto the system.
TTY7-2008-05-1323:01.
Okay, and that gave me my name, the TTY that is logged onto. It's 7 because I'm in a graphical interface. Don't worry, you don't need to know anything about that now, but I would suggest you do some reading on Linux in general, and that will cover that. And it also gave my login time. Just out of curiosity as well, I'm going to type another command.
23:19:15:18:2 load average colon.
And it said I'm up. It's up 18 minutes, and there's two users. That's my username and the root user account as well. Now there are other commands, but I'm not going to go into that here because that's not what this walkthrough is for. For example, you can use ls for listing files. You can use cd for changing directory. You can use cat for printing the contents of a file. You can use apt-get for updating or installing packages. So use apt-get --help to learn what you can do about that. Or you can use apt-get --info for a more comprehensive help on it. MAN for manual is one of the most helpful applications you'll find. But I will warn you, there's a lot of information in that. So, for example, you could possibly use man apt-get. I'll try that here, actually, for just out of curiosity. man space apt-get.
apt-get left paren 8 right paren apt-get left paren 8 right.
Yeah, so there is a man page for that. Man space apt-get, for example, will show you the manual for apt-get. And that will contain loads and loads of information for using apt-get. If you read through that and understand it, you will basically be an expert on apt-get. Okay, so you probably don't need to read through that, but it's certainly one of the things that you're advised to do at the start. I'm just typing exit really slowly. And it said preferences, and if I hadn't have pressed the control key, it probably would have read the rest of the Orca window for me, as in preferences, Orca window, or something like that, but I don't need to do that. So there we are, we were in our system, we've set the root password, we've showed you how to get into the terminal window. One last thing I want you to do is access the Orca community website. So let's start Firefox. Can you remember how to get into that menu again? It's Alt and F1.
laptop expanded edge panel frame to May 13, 11. Accessories menu.
Down once to go into that applications menu. I'm going to press I for Internet.
Internet menu. Ekiga soft phone.
I'm going to press F for Firefox.
Orca screen reader slash magnifier frame preferences button. Mozilla finished. Welcome to Ubuntu 8.04 LTS.
Okay, again, I'm going to press the control key to shut this up. That's a Ubuntu start page, and something that I don't really need to read, or you don't really need to read at the moment. I'm going to press caps lock and F12, so Orca is controlling how things are going.
Gecko is controlling the carrot.
Okay.
Orca is controlling the carrot.
So caps lock and F12, or insert and F12, if you're using a desktop keyboard layout. And that just means Orca has better control over how things are focused in Firefox. So that's what we're going to use. So press that, insert an F12 combination twice. Okay, we're going to press Alt and D to go to the address bar.
Location autocomplete. Location text http://start.ubuntu.com.
Okay, and it's giving me the current address of the page that we're on at the moment. I don't want that. I'm just going to start typing the address of the Orca homepage, and that's http://live.gnome.org/orca, and that's Orca with a capital O. So capital O R C A. http://live.gnome.org/O(ORCA). Enter.
Finished the Firefox/Gnome Live page. Home link, news link, projects link, art link, support.
And that's automatically reading that page for me. Now, out of curiosity, let's have a look and see what this page is made up of. How many links do we have? How many headings do we have? Are there any frames on the page? Any form elements on the page? We can just get an overview. Just like somebody who's seeing it can get an idea of what the page contains when they look at it, we can get a quick overview of what it contains by using a key combination. And on the laptop keyboard, it is caps lock, or Orca modifier as it's known, and return, or enter.
Orca-Gnome Live HTML content, 12 headings, 2 forms, 2 visited links, 74 unvisited links.
Okay. Now, I had to press that key combination twice. I forgot to say that. If I only press it once,
Orca-Gnome Live HTML content,
it will just tell me the control that I'm on, or the focused object, if you like. And that's a HTML content. Now, I'm going to use the H key to navigate by headings, just to illustrate that works.
Live.gnome.org heading level 1. Text about Orca heading level 1. Does Orca work with Skype? Heading level 1. Audio guides heading level 1.
Ah, that sounds familiar. Okay, audio guides. I'm going to use the down arrow here because I'm on a heading that I want to read, and I'm just going to read the content for it. So down
arrow. Acute Hailing Link has created several audio guides for Orca. This is a fantastic contribution.
Not fantastic, but thank you.
Left parent thanks. Right paren, exclamation, exclamation. The audio guides can be found at http://www.digitalnara.com/linux/at.asklink. And include the following : bullet walkthrough of the installation of Ubuntu 7.4. Very helpful
now,
tutorial link.
I could actually go through this and read it automatically if I can remember the key combination. So let's do that. I think it's Orca key and semicolon.
Bullet walkthrough of the installation of Ubuntu 7.4. Very helpful tutorial link. Bullet review of Fedora 7 and the Orca screen reader for the GNOME graphical desktop link. Bullet guide to installing the latest versions of Firefox and Orca link. Download/installation heading level 1. As of GNOME 2.16, Orca is a part.
Okay, so you heard there, without me pressing the down arrow constantly, I can press that Orca key and semicolon, and it will start reading the content for you. Just like a say all in JAWS, for example, or in any other screen reader. So you can see the web accessibility is actually okay. I can press the next form field element, hotkey, which is Orca key and tab.
Attachments, more actions, : combo box.
So that's just an attachment for combo box field. I can press Shift, Caps Lock, and Tab. Move to the next, or sorry, the previous form field.
Search : text.
and that brings me up to a text box called Search. If I tab here,
Home link, Community link,
what
Home
do I
link,
have?
Recent changes link, Schedule link,
and background links. So I can tab around, I can, you know, use that insert tab to move between form elements. I can press U.
Help contents link.
I can press
Download
again
slash installation
for
link.
Unvisited links. I can press V for visited links.
Wrapping to top orca link. Home link.
And just said home link. I can press L for list items and it will bring me to that list item. And read it automatically.
List with 8 items. 1. About orca link.
So there you go. It's very descriptive. So I think that will conclude everything we're going to do for today. To get out of Firefox, I'm going to press Alt and F4.
Preferences button.
And it brought me back to Orca. Now I can actually minimize that.
Window, Orca screen reader slash magnifier frame, desktop
pressing
frame,
Alt space
icon, layout,
and then
game,
N for
items.
November to minimize. And that will bring me back to my desktop. So that's our audio walkthrough finished for the moment. My next audio walkthrough will bring you through installing updates. It will install the latest version of Orca. It will also get you up and running with Evolution. And we may explore some more of the Ubuntu system as well. One of the main priorities of these recordings, as requested by the Orca users who have contacted me, is to get new users up and running and using the Orca community, because really that's the place where you get the most help. These recordings will help somewhat, and you know, you need to read a lot of documentation, but inevitably you will have questions, and you're more than welcome to ask those. So I will be getting you access to the Orca website, the Orca mailing list, and the Orca IRC group, as well as anything else that I can think of at the time. Thank you for listening, and if you have any comments, please do email me. As I said, the email address is d@digitaldarragh. That's d@digitaldarragh.com. And the website address is www.digitaldarragh.com. And for the accessible Linux audio recordings, go to digitaldara.com/LinuxAT for Linux Assistive Technology.asp. That's www.digitaldara.com/LinuxAT.asp. I hope you enjoyed this recording, and hopefully there'll be much more, you know, in the next few days or weeks, and we'll see how they go too.